In preparing for tonight's lesson, I was reminded of the man who was in the grocery store, along with his little infant daughter in the baby seat, strolling her around in the buggy. And the little baby was crying hysterically. And the dad was saying, "Easy, Albert, calm down, easy, easy." And a lady who was also shopping saw what was happening and went up to the man to try to encourage him and said, "Listen, I see you trying to get your baby to settle down, and I just want to commend you for how calm and collected you are when your baby is crying so much. That's a wonderful thing, Albert." And the dad responded, "The baby's name is Joe. My name is Albert." The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Patience. By the way, you're all invited to the wedding. You're part of our family. But I couldn't help but think how appropriate. The Sunday before the Saturday wedding, I preach on patience. Patience. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Despite the fact that we refuse to tolerate pain, offense, delay, and incompetence, the Bible still tells us that we're to pursue, nurture, and exhibit patience. Patience with people and patience with our circumstances. I have found consolation in the past when I've learned that one of the words that is often translated patience in our Bibles has more to do with the idea of perseverance. You've heard of the patience of Job. Hupomone is the Greek word there. And I simply bring that up to you to mean that one of the words that is translated patience in our Bibles has to do with persevering, with not giving in, with keeping on even when it's difficult. So I began to think, okay, now I understand what it means. That should be translated persevere. But then I study about, here's a different word in Galatians 5:22. And this is what patience is, as Paul describes it, this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a compound word joining two words, one of which means large, big, grand, or long. And the other part of this compound word refers to emotions, anger, rage, or passion. Putting those words together, it refers to the ability to contain and hold in check large quantities of emotion, such as anger or frustration. The concept in this word implies long-temperedness as opposed to short-temperedness. And the word is sometimes translated into English, as it is in the New King James Version and others, with instead of patience, it has the term long-suffering. And that's a more literal meaning. It means to suffer long, to be willing and able to suffer long with people and or circumstances. So we're back to that idea of patience that we wish we didn't have to deal with. We can understand persevering when times are difficult, remaining under that burden and refusing to give in. But then it also includes, this word includes, being able to suffer with a wayward person or a painful situation, instead of bailing out on people and circumstances which do not lend themselves to a quick fix. Observe some ways this word is used in Scripture. This word, patience or long-suffering, is used to translate a Hebrew phrase such as is found in Numbers 14, verse 18. A beautiful description of God. The Lord is long-suffering, or patient, or some versions have, is slow to anger. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But we'll have to come to the last part of that verse in just a moment. But what a beautiful description, speaking of God, that He suffers long with us. He is abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. He is slow to anger. He suffers long with us. And aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? If God determined that He would punish sin on the spot, then how many of us would still be here? Aren't you thankful that God isn't short-fused, that He's long-fused, that He is long-suffering? And the Old Testament points to and praises patience and this quality of long-suffering in God, but it also uses it as a trait for wise and godly people. Let me give you two proverbs that contain the same idea. Proverbs 14:29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. In this type of poetry, such as in Proverbs, we'll often have a phrase, the first phrase, enhanced by the second or explained or the opposite given. In this passage, Proverbs 14:29, we see a patient man is contrasted with a quick-tempered man. So we see patience here. A patient man has great understanding. It's referring to a person who is long-suffering, long-fused, not quick-tempered. Proverbs 16:32 is another. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper, than one who takes a city. And in this passage, the second phrase simply describes the first phrase. A patient man is used in conjunction with this idea of a man who controls his temper or rules his spirit, as some translations put it. So it's used as a quality, not only in describing God, but a quality in the Old Testament even that is given as to those who are wise and godly must practice it, exhibit it as well. Coming into the New Testament, we find the same uses of this term. In Romans 2 and verse 4, it's used of God. And notice what it says. Do you despise the riches of His, God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Look at those phrases or those words, goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, that patience, that suffering long with you. And Paul is asking, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not realizing that the goodness of God is what should lead us to repentance? God is so good, He's so long-suffering, it should move us to turn from sin. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is patient. He's waiting with restraint. He's giving us time to repent. These are all expressions of this quality of suffering long. And then we're instructed as Christians to imitate this godly quality of patience and long suffering. Here are a few instances. Love suffers long and is kind. It's the same word. Love is patient and is kind, but it's suffering long. And we can see in this context, it refers to our relationships with others, that we suffer long. Ephesians 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient or long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Colossians 3, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and this quality also of long-suffering. Suffering long. One more reference, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient, be long-suffering with all. Over and over again, this quality is put forth as one that should characterize our lives. If you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. It's the parable of the unforgiving or unmerciful servant, but we might call it the parable of the impatient servant. It's a tremendous parable on being forgiving of others as God has forgiven us. But I want you to notice something as we review this parable. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 23. Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one who was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Let me stop there for a moment. 10,000 talents. That really doesn't resonate with us because we don't deal in that sum of money. But this was an astronomical amount of money and intended to be so because Jesus, by giving this amount, is describing our sinfulness and how much God has forgiven us. So he uses this astronomical amount that would be more than whole nations would bring in taxes. And a servant wouldn't likely be given or loaned 10,000 talents, but in this parable, Jesus is using this huge amount to show just how much God forgives. Verse 25. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Now look at verse 26 closely. The servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Did you see the word patience? It's the same word in Galatians 5:22 and these other passages. Suffer long with me. Give me time. Allow me the opportunity to pay you back and I will pay it back in full. And you remember what happens. Verse 27, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. He forgave him the debt. He absorbed the loss. He wiped that record clean. He says, you don't owe me that anymore. That's forgiveness. You don't owe that debt anymore. It's been wiped out. I'm absorbing that huge loss. Now read on. Verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. 100 days' wages. Which would be more likely an amount that a servant might owe someone. And in comparison with 10,000 talents, it's meager. It's pennies compared to millions of dollars. So this forgiven servant went out and found this fellow servant who owed him this 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. Verse 29, notice carefully. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him saying, have patience with me. Does this sound familiar? And I will pay you all. Same wording that this very servant had used in asking for patience, for long suffering with the master. Suffer long with me. Give me some time. Be patient with me, and I will pay you all. Verse 30, and he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And then Jesus makes the application. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." What's the message? Aren't you thankful God is long-suffering? But aren't you thankful he's a forgiving God? That by the payment of the blood of Jesus, our debt that we owe him because of our sin is washed away completely. But then, having received that forgiveness, we should be willing and able to forgive others. And if we don't, it angers God. If I've been so patient, if I have been so forgiving of you, you should be long-suffering. You should be patient. You should be forgiving of others. So putting it all together, what is this fruit of the Spirit called patience? It's self-restraint that does not hastily retaliate a wrong. Or here's what Philip Keller said in his book. "Patience is the powerful capacity of selfless love to suffer long under adversity. It's that noble ability to bear with either difficult people or adverse circumstances without breaking down." Or to make it perhaps even simpler, I like this one. "Patience, it's the ability to idle your motor when you feel like stripping your gears. It's being able to refrain from retaliating. It's being able to refrain from being harsh and unforgiving like this servant. It's being able to keep your emotions in check. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We so often display impatience with others, demanding too much of others, expecting the impossible of others while cutting ourselves a lot of slack, unwilling to let our children, for example, grow out of their immature ways. We expect them to think and behave like adults. We can be harsh and even feel good about telling somebody off or putting her in her place. We defend our prejudices and justify our condescending behavior toward others. But the fruit of the Spirit replaces these ugly traits with patience, long-suffering, the ability to suffer long with difficult people or difficult circumstances. But we must also note this. That patience has a limit. Patience has a limit. Let's go back to Numbers 14, verse 18, and that glorious description of God. The Lord is long-suffering. He suffers long with us. He's patient and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. He's still a just God, and he's still going to punish sin. You see, being long fused is not the same as being forever fused with God. Even God, our patient God, has a limit to his patience. At a certain point, he'll take no more from his creatures. He'll leave them to their own devices. He'll permit them to bring about their own ruin. He'll judge them for their sins. God's patience, even God's patience, has a limit. And how does this apply to us? There comes a time when we have been patient and tolerant and kind, where we too may have to finally draw the line. To refuse to do so is to permit someone with whom we've been patient and tolerant and kind, wanting them and giving them time to correct their mistakes, to come out of their sinful behavior. There comes a time when to not draw the line just enables them to continue. It has many difficult applications. But note, patience does have its limits. When it becomes quite obvious that nothing's going to change, the sinful behavior is not due to ignorance or weakness, that line must be drawn. Patience has its limits, even God's. The temptation is to give up too quickly. And that brings us to, how do we become more patient? How do we become more patient? How do we have this quality of long suffering, where we're able to suffer long with people that we're waiting for them to come to Christ? We're waiting for them to stop their sinful behavior. And we're waiting for our circumstances that are difficult to change. How do we develop this quality of long suffering? Number one, we need to seek God's help. He's the patient, long suffering God. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that His Spirit produces in our lives as we cooperate with Him. We need to ask for God's help to endure, to be long-suffering with people and with circumstances. Number two is consider why people do the things they do. If we will do this, it'll help us to be more patient and long-suffering with others. Most all of you know that I taught 4 years at Mobile Christian School teaching Bible. It was a great experience. Wouldn't take anything for it. Made some great relationships with a lot of the students. And the majority of those students were just a pleasure to be around, to be associated with. There were a few, a very, very few, that trying to teach them something that is the most important about the Bible, about spiritual things. But there were a few that weren't interested and couldn't make this. I'd try hard to show them just how applicable it is, and there's a God, and this is His will, and we need to abide by it. But there were a few. It just couldn't seem to get through. And then we'd have a teacher's meeting. And I learned that this child, what he was going through at home. And it made me look at that person differently. If we would be more long-suffering with others, we need to think about why they behave the way they behave. What's going on in their lives? What are they worried and anxious about? What's going on that would make them act out like this? And if we knew the reason, I'm thinking we'd be a lot more patient. There's a French proverb that says, to know all is to forgive all. And if we knew more about what people are going through, we'd be a lot more patient with them. Thirdly, think about the effects of impatience. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." Proverbs 14, 29, "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly." Let me give you an example that I don't want to give you. We used to live in Theodore off of McDonald Road. I hope they replaced this door. But in one of those doors, those wooden doors, before we sold the house, I had to get some wood putty and cover up a little indention in that door and try to make it look natural. How did that indention get in that door? Because yours truly was facing, I don't even know what it was, some unpleasant person or unpleasant circumstance, and he thought that he needed to get rid of some of that anger by hitting that door. So every time I looked at that door and think about that door, and I didn't allow my children to use this word, but I think, how stupid. A fool gives full vent to his anger. A quick-tempered man displays folly. How many times have we responded in anger and immediately regretted it? One person said, "Well, it's just the way I am. It's like a shotgun. I just explode and then it's all over." But then somebody pointed out to him, "Yes, but look at the damage that a shotgun does." And if we'll think about how foolish we behave when we act without long suffering, when we're impatient, it'll help us say, "You know, that's not what I need to do." Because folks who fly into a rage always make a bad landing. If you want to be more long-suffering, think about how ugly impatience is. Fourthly, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Think about what he endured and how he endured it. And listen to this passage. "To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Okay? Following the steps of Jesus. That's what I want to do. But look at what he says. "He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats." Wait a second. What about when people hurl their insults at me and when they inflict harm on me, you want me to follow in the steps of Jesus? He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He was laughed at. He was crucified and did not take revenge. Now following those steps. Now look at the one who had, if anyone had any right and the power to exact judgment on people, he rather demonstrated long suffering. He died so that they and we can be forgiven. You look at Jesus' ministry. He had tremendous patience toward his apostles, toward his enemies, even to the ones who inflicted the crucifixion. But finally, how do we become more long-suffering and patient? Remember how patient God is with us. That's the greatest thing to do. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. He's patient. He suffers long with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The fact that the Lord hasn't returned is an expression of his long-suffering. He's giving a few more people the opportunity to turn from sin, to be saved through Christ. His patience one day will end, but until that time, that all that time that remains, whether it be short or long, is an expression of his love and his patience, giving us opportunity to make our lives right with him. If such a holy God, one writer wrote, who could justly demand that we pay for our sins immediately, is willing to be patient with us, how much more so ought we sinful creatures be patient with one another? If you struggle with suffering long, just think about how long God has suffered with you. If we'll do that, I think we'll be a lot more patient with others. Because even tonight, there's opportunity for us, if we haven't obeyed the gospel, to do so. Have you thought about it? Even tonight, in the 6 o'clock hour on this Sunday night, there's an opportunity that God has given us if we haven't done so to obey the gospel. There's an opportunity for us in this 6 o'clock hour to turn from sin as a Christian who's fallen into it. We have an opportunity to turn from it, to confess it, and ask God's forgiveness. But one day, that time's going to run out. Patience has its limits. But right now, he's given us the opportunity. If you need to seize that opportunity, please do so right now as we stand in